This is the Taking Thoughts Captive podcast number 31. Hi, Dan Gaffney here. I'm sitting in the library at Berean Community Church with Pastor Nate Graham, and it's the two of us today on the podcast. Nate, how are you? How you been?
I'm doing great, Dan. I'm feeling kind of lonely. I guess Dwayne Smith's flying to Costa Rica or something, planting a church down there, and Gary got lost.
Gary will be on our next podcast, I'm sure. But look, this is a good opportunity for me to get updated on some of the things that's been going on in your life in terms of outreach and ministry outside the walls of the church. What have you been doing?
Well, the Lord, through various circumstances, has really freed up a lot of time in my life. You know, my wife and I are kind of entering a new chapter in our life, and one of the things I want to do with the extra time, you know, that God's given me is just to invest it in more like evangelistic pursuits. And so it's kind of been a personal quest on my part to see, what can I get involved in? I know we had talked about this in a previous podcast, just different ways to do evangelism, but what can I get involved in on a regular weekly basis and invest evangelistic energies to see long-term fruit? So that's what I've been praying for and really focusing
on. Well, okay, and then that actually has manifested itself in sending you to a Planned Parenthood. Have you been outside of a Planned Parenthood where they actually conduct abortions in Dover, Delaware?
Yeah, right.
And what are you ministering to those seeking an abortion, or what are you trying to do there?
Well, it's kind of exploratory, but you know, I've been on the board of a pregnancy help center, the pregnancy help center in Dover, in years gone by, and so the sanctity of life. I don't know if you can be a Christian and not recognize the sacredness of life. You know, it just makes us cringe to think that we're just for people to say that we're animals. You know, we evolved from a lower species, and so I think for the spirit possessed Christian, you know, we understand the sanctity of life. So I've been passionate about that for a while, but I've been following some various ministries online and just seeing how God has used churches, not necessarily even individuals, but local congregations who are close proximity to a Planned Parenthood, going there and standing outside that place that is an abortuary that just commits so much bloodshed, so much murder, and it's worse than the Holocaust. It's really hard to exaggerate. I mean, we know some of those statistics. There's over 3,500 children aborted a day. It's like a 9/11 every single day since Roe v. Wade. It's 60 million.
Absolutely.
So you know, it's a hellish situation, but just observing some of these ministries from afar, because I'm by no means an expert in the issue, one ministry I was looking at, their church has only been doing this for 2 years, standing outside of Planned Parenthood, trying to talk to the girls going in, and they've already been used by God to rescue 40 children from being aborted. And that's a pretty big figure, I think, for such a short period of time. So I went up there with a couple other guys from church who have a heart for the Lord, and you know, we were able to talk to some of the women. Most of the time, it's from their walk from the car to the office that you're able to speak to them. So you got to choose your words carefully, and in love and affection, tell them what they're going to do is wrong. It is taking the life of the innocent.
Do you actually say, you know, I ask you, please don't murder your child or don't kill your baby? Do you say things like that?
Well, I put a lot of thought into it because I think there's one side that just angrily yells at people, and then there's the other side that just kind of stands out there and prays and doesn't try to engage. So for me, what I said was, I don't know why you're here, because it is possible they could go in there, but Fridays are the abortion day. But I said, I don't know why you're here, but if you are here to have an abortion, I would implore you to not take the life of your child. If you need any resources, if you need someone to adopt your child, if there's anything you need that would keep you from aborting your child, you need to know that we can help you, that we'll be there for you. And you don't have much time to say it because most of the time they're gonna ignore you.
Right.
But we had some success with having just really helpful literature out there, gospel tracts and things that will tell them about their child, and saying, hey, can I give something, kind of calling them over. And some were actually stopped and deviated from their path and came over and talked to us.
And this is a great opportunity to not only try and save a life, obviously, but to share the gospel.
Right.
Why do you think it's such a good opportunity to tell people about the saving power of Jesus in a situation like that?
Yeah, and that is so important because this is first and foremost an evangelistic effort. I think for any gospel-loving Christian, it is first and foremost about calling sinners to repentance and coming to Christ as well as seeking to save the child, because we understand eternal life is more important than temporary life. That's the lens through which the Christian looks at. So for me, this is so ripe because from my understanding, from talking to people with this experience, a significant number of people, women coming in to have abortions, already have a conflict of conscience. And either their parents are pressuring them, their boyfriend is pressuring them, the pressures of life are pressuring them, where deep down inside they know this is not the right thing to do. And so there's already a conflict of conscience. And then when you come in at that point in their life with the gospel, I mean, it's not like they're wandering around in the mall and the last thing they're thinking about is their moral culpability before a holy God. But in this situation, I think not all of them. I'm sure there's many whose consciences are completely seared. But I think there's already a conflict. And in fact, the many rescue stories that are told online through these various ministries are exactly with women who were already in a conflict of conscience. They got there, they talked with someone standing outside, lovingly engaging them, and they decided to save their child.
Right. I often wonder if you're not there, or if other churches are not there, Christians are not there, where would they hear this information?
Right.
Where, you know, who in the world today is going to tell someone blatantly, and you know, please don't take the life of your child?
Right. Right.
Who's going to say that?
Right. I was telling you that the one situation, the one that's just imprinted on my mind and will be probably the rest of my life, was when this one lady was walking in to Planned Parenthood, and I said my line, you know, I don't know why you're here, but I would, if you're here to have an abortion, please don't take the life of your child. And as soon as that came out, she just froze in her tracks, and her head spun around, and she looked at me with this look of a mixture of just shock and anger. And it wasn't, it was almost involuntary. It was almost just a reaction to someone confronting her conscience. And it was so strange because it was almost like she caught herself responding that way. And then she looked forward and kept walking. And it just froze in my mind. And I thought, this very well could be the first time anyone has ever spoken directly to this woman's heart about what she's about to do, and that there is a God that she is accountable for.
Let's talk about things through a biblical lens a little bit, and we're going to go into the sanctity of life from a biblical point of view. You have a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. And then I want to maybe talk to you about those who have had an abortion, and there's a lot of guilt over that, and I want to address that. It's very important. I think these two conversations, I like to have them together. It's please don't take the life of your child, but if you have done that, there is still even hope for you in Christ. So we'll talk about that, but let's talk about life in the Bible, from a Bible point of view.
Well, I mean, just from the fact that Genesis 1 starts out that we're made in the image of God. Once God imprints his image, actually, we are the image of God. there's a sacredness that's there. It's like if I were to go into a museum and slash all the artwork, you know, I would be that would be an insult to the artist.
Oh my!
And so, so I don't know if you're an artsy guy, but you know, that would be. And so, to you know, the Bible tells us in James that's why it's wrong to slander another person because they're made in the image of God. And the Bible tells us in the Mosaic Law that's why it's wrong to murder because they're made in the image of God. So, image of God is the whole value system. But then you go to passages like Psalm 139 that talk about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, woven together in our mother's womb. I mean, it just talks about the artistic brilliance of our omniscient Creator to just create us in the womb. I love, I don't know why, I love Job 10:10, but he says, "Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews?" So he, even Job knows through the insight of the Holy Spirit, he began as liquid, you know, and then he slowly formed into sinew and muscle and bone until this, and he's astonished with it, you know. And just as a majestic mountain chain tells of the strength and glory of God, Psalm 8 says, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've established your strength," is what Psalm 8 says. So, you know, it's, and I was talking to my wife about this too. You have these little infants in their mother's womb that have been designed to praise and glorify God, and abortion shuts the mouth of praise and glory to God by snuffing out that life. So it's a direct assault on the glory and praise of God that He's designed these babies to bring about.
Well, I wish you well in that effort to evangelize people who find themselves in that situation. I support you 100% in that. What about those who are those women listening who may have had an abortion, men who may have been involved in an abortion? What is this something to beat them over the head with? This talk today?
No, it's absolutely not. I wish I had the statistic in front of me, but when I read it, it was staggering how many people who regularly attend church. So as a pastor looks out at his congregation, there's a significant percentage of them that have, you know, had an abortion prior to knowing Christ, or like you said, a husband, boyfriend that pressured them into it. And I would say, you know, it is a heinous sin like many other heinous sins.
Right.
That we understand the power of the cross has blotted those sins out. If a person has repented and confessed that sin to God, it is not some sort of unforgivable sin. It's not placed in its own category that makes it less likely for God to forgive. I mean, I think that's why God chose the Apostle Paul to be one of the great founders of the church. I mean, this is a man who had literally shed blood. He was a murderer of Christians, and he had to say in Philippians 3, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to what lies before. I mean, he had crimes he had committed that he wrestled, no doubt, he wrestled with guilt over, and he had to bring before God. So I think that person just needs to understand the atonement of Christ, their forgiveness,
right,
and to stand confidently, and to allow that to make them a passionate defender of life. You know, I'm not a defender, I'm not pro-life or defender of the sacredness of life because of something special within me. But I'm a sinner saved by grace, and my eyes are open, and so we're all in that category.
All right, it's great to talk to you. What do you want to say in closing about this? Are you plan to continue this sort of outreach as long as God calls you to do that? I think.
Yeah, we have plans to continue to do that, and I'm still, you know, seeing if it's just for my, you know, personal pursuit of evangelism, if it's what God wants me to do. But one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up and talk to you about it, Dan, is because amazingly enough, the fight to protect life, the fight to bring the gospel to women considering abortion is something that has moved through the church like a fad. And I think I think in light of recent elections, maybe it's come a little bit more to the fore in light of the Planned Parenthood scandals that have come out. You know, it's come back to the light. But, you know, 15, 20 years ago, many, many churches would support a local pregnancy help center. Now, it's far less. And I think that's a shame. So I would encourage those listening, if you belong to a church and you do not directly support a gospel-preaching pregnancy help center, to just engage in a conversation with your leaders and ask them why not. And I'll tell you personally, as a pastor, sometimes someone will encourage me to get involved in a ministry, and we have so many things going on, I might not really give it a lot of thought. But if someone from that church directly gets involved and they show me why this is such a great need, they show me the fruit that's coming out of it, they become the tool that God uses to open my eyes. So I know the Pregnancy Help Center in Dover is always looking for counselors who know the gospel, who can talk to women contemplating abortions, and we're right next to the Planned Parenthood. All kinds of volunteers up there. I mean, it's just a place that's ripe with ministry.
Thank you, Nate Graham. Great talking to you today, and some great things have been said there about helping a pregnancy help care center and doing what you can to reach those seeking an abortion with the gospel. Well, that is Taking Thoughts Captive podcast for today. We'll be back hopefully next week, a little irregular on the schedule. We're trying to do these as much as we can, and thanks for listening. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com, Taking Thoughts Captive. We have the website as well, takingthoughtscaptive.net.